Welcome. Great to have you here. And wow, I mean, Donald Trump, he's trying. His legal team, they keep on trying. They're trying. And by the way, they got good reason here, ladies and gentlemen, really good reason to get this judge thrown off the case. Donald Trump is suing him. Oh, gosh, he's suing everyone. But it is crazy times. And we are marching towards, for the first time in the U.S. history, a former president being on trial. Criminal charges here in this hush money case. My goodness gracious. Welcome. This is an important time. Make sure you are subscribed. I'm Trish. This is Trish Regan Show. Subscribe to the show. Give it a thumbs up. Like, share, do all this stuff because I'm telling you, we're on a mission here. We've got to make sure that we protect and preserve this country right now because it's getting wild, folks, all right? And it's about to get even crazier. Let me get you up to speed. We got a lot to cover today. I mean, heck, gold's approaching $2,400 an ounce. I'm not surprised on it. Maybe a little surprised it's happening this fast, but when you get the head of JP Morgan Chase saying, you know, interest rates could go to 8% and he's really worried about inflation and we're living in like Weimar Germany times, well, you can understand why people would be a little bit worried, can you not? Let's start, though, on Donald Trump firing back, suing, because this judge merchant has a daughter who profits off of the likes of Adam Smith and Kamala Harris and the very lawsuit that he's about to decide. You see, she sends out emails on behalf of these political candidates. She's a Democratic strategist, runs a consulting firm, and some $93 million poured through her firm, according to the New York Post. And yet somehow this is the judge that's going to decide the case? This is his daughter? I mean, listen, your daughter's entitled to do whatever she wants to do. But you shouldn't be the judge on the case. I mean, obviously, just the appearance of impropriety here is really quite critical. So Trump's team going forward and saying, okay, so, you know, Ms. Gonzalez, you made the decision yesterday that you're going to move forward on this trial, even though he cannot. Let me repeat, he really can't get an unbiased jury, not in New York City. But they're moving forward anyway. So maybe he's got something here, though, with this judge. I would think Jonathan Turley is a really, really bright guy, really smart legal scholar. He was just on Fox talking about this very issue with Dana Perino. I know it's Fox, but Jonathan Turley's pretty smart. So I want you to hear his explanation of whether or not this has any legs.
Standing, you know, you can bring this in a court of law, and that's where this belongs. It shouldn't be hashed out in social media. Attorneys all the time raise not just conflicts, but the appearance of conflicts. Some involve family members. Indeed, many on the left have long attacked Supreme Court justices over their family members and their activities. But with 2 weeks to go, it'd probably be easier to move the courthouse than the judge in this case. And the reason is that they are very reluctant, unless you have something quite direct and sort of unassailable. We don't know what they have, but generally the activities of an adult child do not prove determinative for these types of motions. That once that child is an adult, then they're not really, their actions are not attributed to those of the judge or vice versa.
You mentioned the Supreme Court, and it's true that the left has been furious about Clarence Thomas, and they say that his wife was agitating on the right and even, like, tried to make some sort of connection
totally
on January 6th.
Maybe
there is. I don't want to litigate that here.
Clarence Thomas has not recused himself
from cases. Is that a model here for this judge to say, I don't have anything to do with my daughter's business?
Well, those attacks preceded on Thomas and his wife preceded January 6th. So they've been attacking him over her political involvement for years. And I don't even think he has to cite that. I mean, the fact that it's an adult child is usually enough. But the Trump team is asking to file, and they appear to be suggesting they have something more. We'll have to see. Mm-hmm. When you look at these filings, you're looking for direct action from the judge or direct benefits to his family linked to the case. That could be campaign contributions. It can be campaign appearances. We just don't know. But the odds are against the team in dislodging this judge.
I wonder also.
Okay. So basically, Turley saying it's not really going to happen. I mean, it should happen. And maybe this will be grounds eventually for the appeal. By the way, for those of you that are like, wait a second, is this like deja vu? I mean, didn't they already go through all this? And didn't she have to pay him? Uh-huh. Yeah, but that was the civil thing. Now this is the criminal thing. So two different spheres there. Listen to this judge. This woman was on CNN. She's a retired Southern Court judge. And she's laying it out. And she's like, look, it's just not right. The appearance of impropriety here really is a sticking issue. And it's not acceptable. And that may be a leg to stand on. Turley saying, I don't think so. But listen to her.
And they put together a composite of issues that would cause me a little bit of pause. And I can explain all the various things that they've put together. The main focus of this motion, as opposed to the previous one a year ago, which the judge denied, is on the daughter's line of work. As you already said, the daughter does work with many, many high-profile Democratic candidates. She works on their social media. They put out a post. They get contributions. She, as an owner, gets a percentage of those contributions. So there is a statute in New York which says a judge must disqualify himself if a person known by the judge to be within the sixth degree of relationship, and a daughter is the first degree, has an interest that could be substantially affected by the outcome of the proceeding. So the question here is this daughter likely to profit, to benefit from the outcome of this proceeding? And you have to understand, it's not actual conduct that's worrisome. It's the appearance to a reasonable person that this judge cannot be fair and impartial given that relationship. So ordinarily, I would think that a benefit financially would be to a spouse because they share the income. This is an independent adult daughter. They don't share income. But according to this statute, the judge must recuse if she would substantially benefit from the outcome. So that's one thing that concerned me. But if you add to that a few other facts that are of concern, at least to me, was the judge's original contribution to President Biden 4 years ago, which he made himself, very small contribution,
$35. Yeah, I think it was $10, right?
$35, I'm told, $35, a small contribution, but he made it through ActBlue himself on the internet. He did give an interview where he said he wouldn't comment on the case, but then he said he's been intensely preparing and he wants to be fair and impartial and justice is important. He and his daughter discussed the former president's use of social media, which the judge condemned in that discussion, and she, the daughter, reported on it. The Office of Court Administration said the daughter's Twitter account ended a year ago, so any recent posts on that were not from the daughter. Yeah. And I kind of wondered why the Office of Court Administration was defending the daughter.
So, any way you slice it, there's a whole bunch of reasons why this judge should not be on the case. There's a whole bunch of reasons why he has ethical issues and that nobody's going to buy this. And everybody's going to turn around and say, well, of course, you know. It was in the bag. It was totally rigged. You don't want that when you have the first president in the history of this country to be on trial. It is so unbelievably wrong. And yet they're going to do it. They're going to do it anyway. And I predict, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to help him. Think about what's at stake. CNN just told us, what is this, 4 out of 5 days he's going to be in court instead of campaigning? Watch.
Starting next week, Donald Trump will be forced to sit in court 4 days a week. As prosecutors try to convince a jury he broke the law when he allegedly falsified business records to cover up hush money payments to Stormy Daniels. The first big question, who will be on the jury for this historic trial? CNN has obtained the jury questionnaire. CNN's Caitlin Polanski.
Okay, well, I've obtained the jury questionnaire as well. And I can tell you one of the first questions they're going to ask you. So, okay, if any of you guys are out there in New York and you're watching right now, remember how you need to answer these. You're going to be out if you listen to this podcast, basically. The first one is, do you listen to or watch podcasts? If so, which ones? So, yeah, if you listen to this, if you listen to Rogan or Bongino or Shapiro or any of these things, I have a feeling you're out. Do you listen to talk radio? If so, which programs? Okay, if you listen to Buck and Clay, I'm telling you, you're out. Do you currently follow Donald Trump on any social media site, or have you done so in the past? I mean, do these questions feel a little bit like one-sided? Is it just me? It's like, if you're a conservative, you're out. So if you're on Truth Social, you're not going to have to serve on this jury. Potential jurors are also going to face a quiz like none other while being considered here. First criminal trial in the history of this great country. The first time you've had a former president of the United States actually have to sit for this. One of the questions will be, have you ever considered yourself a supporter of or belonged to any of the following? The QAnon movement, the Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, Three Percenters, Boogaloo Boys, or Antifa. I mean, at least they threw Antifa in there. They've got 500 people that have been sent notices saying they have to show up for this one. And I actually think they all want to be on it. I'm betting they all want to be on it because this is history in the making. I mean, I'd want to be on that one, and I definitely don't want to be on any jury if I can help it, not until I'm retired, at which point it might be interesting. But this one, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this will be fascinating. This is a front row seat to history. The question is, can you possibly ever get an unbiased jury pool in Manhattan? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think we know that the odds are pretty much stacked against him there. Prosecutors and lawyers are going to select 12 here. So they've got 12 plus a few alternates. And they're going to try to make sure that these people are not really biased politically one way or the other. In other words, you can't like him or dislike him, despite the fact that he is what we would call a high beta personality, right? You know, or in the television business, they call it a Q score. He's got a really high Q score. Everybody knows who he is. A lot of people hate him. A lot of people love him. But they've got a feeling either way. So this is going to be challenging. He has entered, of course, as you know, a not guilty plea. 34 counts of falsification of business records in this particular case, all stemming from the Stormy Daniels alleged hush money payments. You know, they got his former accountant, remember him and his lawyer and everything, to work against him in favor of them. Here is how the judge is describing the case to jurors. This is according to a court filing that has just been made public. I read, the allegations are in substance that Donald Trump falsified business records to conceal an agreement with others to unlawfully influence the 2016 presidential election. Specifically, it is alleged that Donald Trump made or caused false business records to hide the true nature of payments made to Michael Cohen, there you go, by characterizing them as payment for legal services rendered pursuant to a retainer agreement. The people allege that, in fact, the payments were intended to reimburse Michael Cohen for money he paid to Stephanie Clifford, also known as Stormy Daniels. I honestly can't believe we're here. I really can't believe we're here. In the weeks before the presidential election, to prevent her from publicly revealing details about a past sexual encounter with Donald Trump. Wow. Okay, so they're going to get 42 questions. Some of them are pretty mundane, like, what do you do for a living? Have you ever served on a jury before? And then some are kind of interesting, like, have you ever been to a Trump rally or any campaign event for that matter? And, of course, what podcasts do you listen to? What YouTube channels do you listen to? Oh, dear. Oh, dear. In the meantime, Stormy Daniels, a.k.a. Stephanie Clifford, well, she's going on to apparently have a whole new career. She's all excited because she's now in the South by Southwest Film Festival. She just got accepted into this. And it's just, quote, absolutely mind-boggling, she tweets. What an honor for my story to be premiering alongside so many huge opening films opening night. Yeah, we know why they want her. Right now, she's like a hero because in the left's view, they think that she's going to save the world and save the country. And so she's going to get all kinds of awards. I mean, you can prepare yourself for that. But I don't know if any of this ultimately is going to pay off for the left. And the reason I say that is because I keep looking at all of these polls. And every single time I do, I see something that's really tight. You know, maybe you're getting a one or two spread difference, usually in Trump's favor. Sometimes it's bigger than that. I've seen 4 points, 5 points. And then, heck, you know, the Wall Street Journal won the other day. They were like a 10-point spread in some cases there. He's winning in 6 out of 7 swing states. And every time, have you noticed this? We saw this with Fannie. Every single time, there was an issue there. They came forward with a, well, we want you to We want you to pay $500 million. That was the bond for Letitia James in New York City. What happened? He went higher in the polls. So how much you want to bet? He's there for this criminal trial because they feel that it's so important to defend Stormy's honor and accuse him of all of this, that they're going to go after the first president of the United States ever having to sit trial. He's going to go up in the polls again. Mark my words, up, up, and away. So this will backfire spectacularly. He's turned into kind of a Teflon Trump, and they're going to have to eat their words. So what's going to happen? He's going to be in court 4 out of 5 days a week. So what, takes Friday off or Monday's off, and you better bet he's on the rally trail. And he's out campaigning, and guess what? You just gave him a terrific narrative, you stupid idiots on the left. I've got more coming up. Oh, my goodness. This great soundbite from this woman down in Texas who used to be a U.S. representative. I mean, it's stunning. Like, she doesn't understand second grade science or what the moon's made of. It shows you how stupid these people are. But this is stupid from a political perspective, right? If I'm a Democrat strategist, and I don't want to tell them how to do it because we don't want to give away any hints, but this is like a colossal failure for them because he will go up. He'll continue going up in the polls. New one out today. NPR is very proud to show this off over at the White House. Guess what? They got it narrowing, but there's like a 2-point spread. The thing that was my takeaway, though, from this NPR poll is that there's a shift that's just seismic. Okay? It's like earthquake territory, right? We got a big shift going on. Because the groups that the Democrats used to historically depend on, all those blue-collar Democrats, all those Hispanics, all those Black, guess what? They're not going to be there for you this time. Because the Black population, Biden's down 20 points. And according to this new NPR poll, Hispanics are not fans. This does not surprise me. The other thing that's really important from this poll that you need to understand is that young people are not fans. But, you know, Manny Gonzalez, he works with some great friends of mine, Alfred Ortiz, over at Job Creators Network. He went on to Fox and he explained this with my good friend Rachel Duffy. And Alfredo sent me this. This was just great. He's trying to explain why it is that Hispanics are so clued in right now and liking Trump as opposed to Biden. Take a look at this clip with Rachel.
Is the number one issue facing voters, especially Hispanic voters, right now?
Oh, absolutely. Economy is definitely a big issue. It's always been that. Remember, it's the economy, stupid. Mm-hmm. It's particularly in the Latino community. As you look at what's happening right now, you have inflation that's really incredible. I'm just got here to California. I'm in San Francisco, and we're talking $8 a gallon for premium gas. You're talking about the supply chain being disrupted. You're talking about the inflation that's really going to soar. And then you got all these mandates that are causing all kinds of havoc, especially in the Latino business community, where you're seeing a lot of businesses being shut down because of these mandates.
Yeah.
So, yes, the economy is really important. It always has been for the Latino community.
Yeah. It's the economy, stupid. In other words, none of this is that hard. The Democrats somehow think that the Hispanics are going to be there for them no matter what. I'll tell you, a lot of Hispanics have worked hard to be where they are. And people that are here legally really don't appreciate all these illegals coming in, depressing the wages for the rest of the labor pool, possibly introducing an element of crime into their communities. They don't want it. They're not having it. And so guess what? They're migrating to Trump. By the way, big plug for Manny there, Manny Rosales. He just joined Job Creators Network. You can join it too. JoinJCN.com. I encourage you guys because you know what? They are out there. They're pounding the pavement to make sure that small business owners are protected in this kind of environment. It's a wonderful network if you want a networking opportunity to meet other local business leaders in your community. And especially if you're interested in getting out there and being a spokesperson for this movement, because they will help train you. They'll take care of everything. They're wonderful. They're really, really wonderful. So that's Alfredo and his group, Manny as well. Go over there. Check out joinjcn.com today. They care about the things I care about. They care about the things that you care about. And we all, by the way, it doesn't matter the color of your skin, your gender, your preference. We all care about one thing, do we not? Being able to prosper and succeed and enjoy and enjoy freedom in this country. And you need freedom for capitalism to actually really and truly work. So when I see the polls, I'm not surprised. I'm just not surprised by any of this. I'm looking at the young people, right? And they think, oh, well, we can get the young people. Just keep telling them climate change, climate change, climate change. And Joe's like, I'll fix it. I'll fix it. Well, one, he hasn't fixed it at all. And two, again, these economic pocketbook issues, they catch up with everybody, including the young kids, right? Maybe they don't want to be living at home in their parents' basement, but they don't have a choice right now because everything is so darn expensive. Rent's up better than 20 some odd percent. Mortgages, forget about it. Mortgages up 66% since Joe Biden came into office. You look at the cost of eggs, up some 38%. The cost of food, the cost of energy. New data out today showing from AAA how much some 44% gas prices have gone up since Joe Biden came to office. And you wonder why, Democrats? The youth don't like him so much. You wonder, huh? You know what? It's kind of expensive to live out there. So his answer, wait for it. Well, he's got the climate change thing going, and then he's got student loans. Oh, we'll give you $5,000. Hey, guys, 5K if you vote for me. And I'm gonna drill this message home, and I'm gonna have my vice president drill it home too. Oh, and I'm even gonna put AOC out there on the late night shows, and she's gonna explain it's actually really not gonna help her. But this is amazing. This is amazing. Kamala Harris actually says that it doesn't matter your income. So you could be a hot shot Wall Street lawyer making millions of dollars a year, and the rest of us have to pay off your student loans? Like, that's fair? By the way, it's illegal. Supreme Court already said they couldn't do this, and it's not stopping them. Listen to what Kamala is saying on this, guys.
Loans will be completely forgiven, regardless of your income and even if you did not graduate. So I'm going to repeat that. If you've paid undergraduate loans for more than 20 years or graduate loans for more than 25 years, those loans will be completely forgiven, regardless of your income and even if you did not graduate. And forgiveness will be automatic for the vast majority of the 25 million people that we believe will benefit from this approach.
I mean, this is insane. This is socialism. This is socialism with a twist, because they're literally, not only are they buying votes from the young kids that don't have any money, they're buying votes from the people that do have money. They're like, hey, we'll give you $5,000 too. You're still working on those student loans. We'll take care of it for you. Is that not the nuttiest thing you've ever heard? Not to mention, they can't, okay? The Supreme Court made that loud and clear. They said, you can't do that. It's unconstitutional. You don't have the authority as president and vice president to do such a thing. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I got to play you this clip because I'm listening to it yesterday. I'm like, wait a second. Is he bragging? Is the president of the United States bragging about how he's going to just say, haha, give a big middle finger to the Supreme Court of the United States of America? Because apparently rules don't matter. Laws don't matter. Not in this sort of crazy Alice in Wonderland world, listen to Joe.
Tens of millions of people's debt was literally about to get canceled. But then some of my Republican friends and elected officials and special interests sued us, and the Supreme Court blocked us. But that didn't stop us. No, I mean it sincerely. We continue to find alternatives past to reduce student debt payments.
That didn't stop us. No, we're back for more because we want to take your money and reallocate it to those fancy schmancy people, whether they graduated or not, whether they make millions of dollars or not. We're going to pay off their education. You know, tough luck. You're the electrician. You're the plumber. You're the construction worker. You chose not to go to the fancy schmancy school because maybe you had some brain cells, right? No, maybe you said, hey, I can build a business on my own. I don't need to go and do that and get a fancy slip of paper and put myself and possibly my family into debt in the process. So good for you. You go out, you work hard, you build a business, you're paying your bills. And now along comes Joe and Kamala, and they're like, haha, no, we're going to take some of that money that you earned. Because don't forget, if you listen to Barack Obama, you didn't, right? You didn't build that. You didn't, even if you're the construction worker that built the house, right? It's not yours. That's somehow the Democrat administrations that want to take credit for this. So they're going to take your money to go pay for all this other stuff. It's not going to fly. It's just not going to fly. And you know what? Young people get it. They can't be bought as easily as you might think. They really can't. They're smarter than that, Joe Biden. It's just so critical. We get the right people with the right policies there. I'm telling you, there's another reason why I'm so proud to have this partnership with a wonderful organization called Americans for Prosperity. Americans for Prosperity cares about the issues that I care about, that I know you care about. They care. They get into the nitty gritty. They're like wonky like me. They love talking inflation and Bidenomics. You know, it's great. They actually bought Bidenomics.com. So Biden, with all his fancy schmancy TikTokers, never even had the foresight to buy Bidenomics.com before he coined it and went out and talked all over the country about it. So you can go check out Bidenomics.com. And the guys over at AFP, we had one of them on the show that had the foresight to do this. He got it. And basically, he's got the truth on there. He's got the truth about Bidenomics and the disaster it has been and the disaster it'll continue to be. I mean, Jamie Dimon was just talking about this in his new letter. We're going to get to that in a second. But the reality is this. You get a lot of really, really, really stupid people. And so, sure, they'll do stupid things like send Donald Trump back to court for 4 out of 5 days in a historic move. And it's going to boomerang like you wouldn't believe. He's going to actually take this and invert it into something else, just like he's done, frankly, with the Hispanic vote. I mean, think about all the Hispanics now, as we said, in these poll numbers that are turning to him. And so what does he do? Well, he's like, I better fix this. I got to fix it. How am I going to fix it? Let me just go on to Univision and tell them what they want to hear. This is sort of funny. It's just kind of tragic. But here is Joe Biden trying to sell Hispanics in America on Univision about why you should vote for him.
What, in your view, constitutes the primary threat to freedom and democracy at home?
Donald Trump. Seriously. Donald Trump uses phrases like, you're going to eviscerate the Constitution. He's going to be a dictator on day one.
Do you ever get tired of it? I mean, I just get tired of it because it's like, how many times? And I've played you some of those long clips. Our friends over at Gravian are great at putting that together. They'll get... threat to democracy. Threat to democracy is the biggest threat to democracy. We're going back to World War II, blah, 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 over and over and over again. Well, he couldn't come up with anything more innovative than he's a threat to democracy. Who do you think is the biggest threat to democracy? What is the biggest threat to democracy? Boom. Donald Trump. You know what? Biden, you should have at least been able to say that in Spanish by now. You say it so many times in English. Of course, this is Biden. What am I saying? What am I talking about? We're lucky he can speak English, ladies and gentlemen, right about now. He had a few other things to say to the Hispanic community there in this little softball interview on Univision. Let's listen.
I mean, it's just, and think of the things he says. Look at the way he talks about minority populations, Hispanics, you know, we're talking about them being, anyway, I can't think of any other time in my lifetime, in history has occurred, that you've had somebody who's had this kind of attitude.
Did he forget the word animals? Because that's what the left is saying. They're saying that Donald Trump called them animals. And it's amazing how they basically take something that you say and they invert it and they spin it and they try and use it against you. Donald Trump was referring to violent criminals, like the one that allegedly murdered the girl down in Georgia, okay, the nursing student. I think it's fair to say that that person is an animal. And I think every Hispanic person in America would agree that that person, that killer, was an animal. And we don't want people that are killers and animals in this country. But instead, they extrapolate something entirely different. And what hit the airwaves? Oh, he says animals. He's calling immigrants animals. He's not calling immigrants animals. He's calling the people that are bad people the animals. And they are, okay? They are anybody who would take another human life. And so, no, we don't want violent criminals in the country. It's fair to say they're violent criminals and they're animals. But anyway, they're going to repeat this narrative over and over and over. And they just hope that if they repeat it enough, think about that. If they just repeat it enough, you'll start to believe it. The problem they have, well, I'm an example of the problem they have. And the fact that you're watching this show, This is part of the problem, you see. They can no longer control the narrative because we're here, we're talking. I see your comments, I'm going to get to them. We're talking in real time. And this is a 3D style universe. Media has changed so drastically, so dramatically, or we have this opportunity to connect with one another. And so we can call out all the BS. We can call out all the misinformation and the disinformation and all the things that they want you to believe. And we can talk about whether or not they're true or whether or not it is just spin. In the old days, you didn't have that opportunity. I mean, heck, just a few years ago, you didn't have that opportunity. You didn't. I want to play you coming up some, we can call it vintage Trump from 1987. He took out a full-page ad complaining about our foreign policy and saying we're losing $200 billion a year. I mean, heck, we're losing a heck of a lot more than that now. And he was predicting back then that everything would happen. But think about it. He had to go and take out a giant ad in the newspaper. And then he had to go on to CNN and Larry King and explain all of this. Nowadays, he just flips a switch or presses a button on his phone and he can talk to you. I'm talking to you right now. We have a whole new world of opportunity. And so we can cut through the spin and we can cut through the noise and we can have real conversations, conversations in depth that couldn't happen before. Reminder to subscribe, by the way. Make sure you're subscribed to this show. You can also get my newsletter at Trish Regan Media. Trish Regan Media. I put it in the chat for you.com. But this is all new. And it's exciting. And it changes the landscape and it changes the narrative and it may change what's going to happen as Americans increasingly seek to take their country back. And yet the stupid people that are running things are trying hard to keep it away from you. They don't want you to have these opportunities. They don't want you to be able to sit here and listen to my show every day. So you need to hit the bell as well and sign up for the emails. And so all this stupidity comes with consequences. And we're seeing those consequences play out in the financial markets right now, ladies and gentlemen, as I look at the price of gold approaching $2,400 an ounce. This is incredible. I mean, look, you know I like gold. You know I'm partial to gold. You know I incorporate it as part of my portfolio. At 76research.com, we have an inflation-protected portfolio, and gold is part of that. You can read more at 76research.com. You can sign up and get all the stock picks and all the advice there at 76research.com so that you know how to invest for the future. Rob and I have spent a lot of time on this, a lot of time for you. But I've been talking about gold for a while, right? I've been saying, hey, you know, watch it. It's probably edging higher. I would not have predicted it would be this high. I would have said 2,200, and I think we got near there a while back, but like 2,200. It's at 2,367 right now, ladies and gentlemen. This is today. So this is a five-year chart. Take a look. It's just been steadily climbing over the last 5 years. It's been steadily climbing, heck, since 2011. It hit a bit of a peak in 2011. And then it's been climbing back to that, and it's now surpassed the peak. You know what's happened since 2011? Inflation, massive amounts of inflation to the tune of some 35% of an increase in CPI. That's the Consumer Price Index. 18% of an increase since Joe Biden became president. So you get stupid people doing stupid things, increasing the M2 money supply in historic ways that we've never seen before. And you don't think it's going to have an effect on prices? Really? I mean, I have to sit there and listen to Janet Yellen over in China tell us that, no, you know, things are okay. She's now talking to a CNBC reporter and saying, oh, you know, everything's great. You know, American households, they're doing great. No, they're not, Janet. They're not doing great. And the reason they're not doing great is because of your inflation. You people thought that you could print and print and print and print. Joe Biden thought he could hand out a third stimulus check. Chuck Schumer thought he could just print trillions more and give all that away to his cronies. Well, it comes back to bite you in a pretty significant way, and it's being reflected in gold prices. I'll tell you, somebody who I think is just a really terrific guy. I know some of you got, you know, you don't like the big banks and this, that, and the other. Well, this big banker is a really stand-up banker and is pretty forthcoming and is pretty straightforward. And I'm talking about Jamie Dimon, who runs our nation's largest bank, J.P. Morgan Chase. He was over in Davos earlier this year, like defending conservatives, saying, what's going on? Like, you can't just keep profiling people and writing off half the country. Enough is enough, right? Well, he's out with a new letter. He comes out with like an annual letter. It's a long one. It's a doozy. I've read it all. And he's making some interesting predictions. Before I get to those, I just want you to hear his frame of mind. This was at a conference that he was at. I want to say this was towards the end of the year. So a few months back, he hasn't really changed his tune. He's got a lot of concerns about the future ahead. Listen to Jamie Dimon.
When you look at the geopolitical situation, as complex as we've seen, I don't know if it's 1948 or 1938, obviously all hope it goes away. I think it's a little bit of wishful thinking. It's going to take real leadership on the part of many people out there. And then I look at the financial situation, the fiscal spending, which is more than it's ever, I'm talking about the United States, but it's almost true around the world. It's more than it's ever been in peacetime by a long shot, with the highest debt levels we ever had by government. And there's this kind of omnipotent feeling that central banks and governments can manage through all this stuff. I'm cautious. I don't think it makes a piece of difference whether rates go up 25 basis points or more. Like zero, none, nada. I think whether the whole curve goes up 100 basis points, you know, I urge people, be prepared for it. I don't know if it's going to happen. But I look at what we're seeing today more like the 70s. A lot of spending. A lot of it's going to be wasted. I'm in favor of this whole ESG effort. On the other hand, if you look at the way we're going about it, it's almost like governments want to whack them all and force it. But no carbon taxes, no rational way to go about it that would be more important. In the United States, for example, you know, you can't build pipelines to reduce coal emissions. You can't build, get the permits to build solar and wind and things like that. So we better get our act together. I'm hopeful when I listen to all the R&D, see it around the world, we will make the breakthroughs we need to beat climate. But it's going to be a day later and longer than it should be because of our own basic incompetence. I also want to add one last thing. I'm taking it from Bob Gates. To fix this, it's going to take real leadership from the Western world, in particular America, but leadership which is not just military, diplomatic, development, finance. And this development finance, I don't know if Ajay's still here, what we need in development finance dwarfs what governments can do. So it can't be done without private capital. And private capital, you know, isn't going to come in if they, you know, you build something that gets taken from a government or something like that. So we have a lot of work to do. It's one of the reasons I think these events are positive. But I would be quite concerned. And the other thing about when you look at economics, I think people prepare for possibilities and probabilities, not calling one course of action, since I've never seen anyone call it. I want to point out that central banks 18 months ago were 100% dead wrong. Okay, so maybe there's humility about financial forecasting. I would be quite cautious about what might happen next year.
Yeah, he's spot on. They were absolutely dead wrong. I said it at the time. I was pounding the table here telling you, beware of inflation, beware of inflation. We're going all the way back to August of 2020 when I started this podcast. I know a lot of people didn't want to hear it back then, but I was telling you, like, there's no way that this is actually going to end well. There's no possible way. So Jamie Dimon is making the point in his letter. That was from a few months ago, guys. But he's making the point in his letter that the mini banking crisis of 2023 is over, right? The SVB thing, that was a disaster. But beware of higher rates and recession, not just for banks, but for the entire economy. And then when he talks about those higher rates, he said, look, they could go to 8%. So if you get rates at 8%, what does that do? That dampens everything for the economy. He's evoking the World War III stuff, too. I mean, J.P. Morgan's Jamie Dimon, here you go, this headline brought to you. It's caught up with the mainstream media, CBS News, sounds alarm about possible worse risks to U.S. since World War II. And why is this? Well, one, the money printing. Okay, it's insane how much money they printed. And that's why gold keeps going up in value, because, you know, you're an emerging market country. How are you feeling about things right about now? You're saying, hey, is the U.S. going to be there for me? Does the dollar even matter anymore? And so you start to question all this stuff. And what do? You go and buy gold because you're like, okay, well, I got a sure thing here. Let me make sure I have a sure thing. Nothing's a sure thing. All right. Nothing's a sure thing. But people are feeling a lot of trepidation about the U.S. dollar and about interest rates and how much the U.S. can afford and the political dynamic of all of this. Because we're so broken politically. I mean, when you've got, for the first time in U.S. history, the president of the United States, former president, who's about to begin a trial on April 15th, and they're selecting the jury as we speak, and you have all these rabidly political people surrounding this entire ordeal. You know what? That's a reason to be frightened. Political people, stupid people. And they are stupid. So look out for yourself. Look out for yourself. It's a big part of what Rob and I talk about. He's going to come on the show later this week, and we can talk about it together here with you. So save up your questions. But this is why we created these model portfolios. So there's model portfolios. You can actually pick one that's inflation protected. You can have an income builder because, you know, the whole idea is, wait a second, as you get older, you want a little income coming in. You don't want to take on a ton of risk, but you need that income to keep up with inflation because inflation, thanks to these morons, is so off the charts. And if they get their way on the student loan thing, it's going to be even worse. So there's a constant theme here, and this is why I urge you to look out for yourself, to prepare yourself. And part of that preparation is getting the right research from people who don't have anything other than your best interest at heart, which would be me and my colleague and my co-founder at 76research.com. You know, we talk about these stupid people, and I just got to say, Donald Trump, he got it. He got it. He got it from the very beginning. He really did. I got to play you this tape. I got to play you this tape because you're just going to say, wow. I mean, he's a smart guy and he's always been kind of a smart guy. And here he was back when he was like 41 years old talking about the same issues he's talking about now. We're going to get to that. And we got to first showcase the stupidity of this one Texas lawmaker. It's just worth seeing. Like, you need to know what we're up against, really. You need to know what he's up against. But before I do, thank you for the nice compliments on the dress. I see some of you weighing in. Anyway, I've been feeling great lately, and a big part of that is thanks to Balance of Nature. Balance of Nature, which is just wonderful. I take my fruits and veggies every single day thanks to Balance of Nature, and you can too. You can too if you call 1-800-246-8751. Again, it's 1-800-246-8751. Use my discount code because you get 35% off. You get $10 extra off, and you get free shipping. So you can go to the website, use my name, my first name, Trish. Try this out. I mean, it really, I mean, I look, I feel pretty good. I think I've never been one to turn down a compliment. So I think I look pretty good. And I do actually credit these guys with a lot of this because now I feel like, okay, I'm getting everything that I need. And I think that's important. I think it's important, especially as we get older in life. You need to exercise. You need to drink a lot of water. You need to eat right. And you need to have your vegetables and your fruits. And I'm a little lacking on the fruit side. Full disclosure. Because you know me, if I can have some sugar, I want the full-on piece of chocolate cake. Well, Balance of Nature helps make sure that I get the nutrients I need. So check them out today, balanceofnature.com, and use my code word. Sheila. You know, this woman was in Congress for a lot of years, and I used to have to listen to her a lot, and it was painful enough then. So fortunately, I don't have to do that now, but now it's just kind of funny. Kind of depressing, but funny. So Sheila Jackson Lee, she lost her mayoral race, don't forget. I mean, even with Hillary Clinton's support and everything, maybe that was actually what did her in. She was down there in Texas. And so now she's been sort of left with only going to a few high school and elementary school football games or lacrosse games or soccer games and speaking out there on the field. And I don't know if we really want her to even do that. Okay. I want you to watch this tape, and there's this guy standing behind her, and I don't know if he works for the school or if he's on her team, but you can almost see his face just cringing because she starts talking about the moon. And I told you yesterday, look, I'm no science expert, right? Like, this is not Bill Nye, the science guy right here. This is Trish Regan. I'll talk to you about the economy and the markets any day. But science, I'm getting a little out of my league. But I do know this. I do know that the moon is not made up of all kinds of gases. Like, this woman is truly incredible. You must see. I watched this three times. I might make us do that too. Fair disclosure, true, in advance. I watched it three times because it's just that funny. Here we go.
Provide unique light and energy so that you have the energy of the moon at night. And sometimes you've heard the word full moon. Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that? The sun is a mighty powerful heat that is almost impossible to go near the sun. The moon is more manageable, and you will see you'll see in a couple of years that NASA is going back to the moon.
Okay, Elon Musk, I think you're going to hire her. Right? Because, you know, she's making an argument there. Did she just try and tell us we could live on the sun? Oh, my goodness. I mean, she is something else, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm not kidding. We got a lot of stupid people in Washington, D.C. A lot of stupid people. I think we have to see it again. And then I have to take you over to The View because I got a good long clip of the stupidity. You have to see it, right? Like, you need to know. People in the media, they're dumb. People in Congress are pretty dumb. And these are the people that are deciding our fate. And you wonder why gold is nearly $2,400 an ounce. Okay, Sheila, take it away again.
Provide unique light and energy so that you have the energy of the moon at night. And sometimes you've heard the word full moon. And sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that? The sun is a mighty powerful heat that is almost impossible to go near the sun. The moon is more manageable, and you will see you'll see in a couple of years that NASA is going back to the moon.
Wait, did she just say that we're going to go to the moon? I don't want to make you listen to it again. So at least she did get that the sun was pretty hot, right? And then we can't go there. Unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable that this woman was actually one of our U.S. representatives for so long. Just remember that. This is the people that these people are deciding policy and your fate and my fate and our children's fate. Oh, dear. And then it's just as bad. I'm sorry, on the media side, you hear me complain about this a lot. I mean, they've got such bias. It's so obvious. And when they don't have such bias, they're just these like prompter readers that read anything. You know, I worked at Bloomberg once and there was a young woman there, not that young actually, but they wrote everything in the prompter, including her name. And they got it wrong because they thought it was like for another anchor. And she literally read, "Hello, I'm so-and-so." Like live on the air. I mean, it's great. Like there's just not a lot of connectivity up there and they're just on autopilot reading. So that's what you get in the media, or you get people who think they're smart, like this Sunny Houston lady over on The View, and she's got to have Whoopi Goldberg correcting her. I played a little snippet yesterday, but now I got the whole thing. So you got to watch this. It's fantastic and hysterical. You say cicada, I say cicada. Remember that.
Leaving, we've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake. Ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here. And then also, I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Although I love for the first time in like
two different kinds of cicadas.
Two different times are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe. pain, but, you know, make well, you know better.
But in a way, all those things together
would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists.
That's more
or something
point.
Is really
or
going on. Returning.
Earthquakes are not at the mercy of climate change. It's underground. No,
it happens. And the eclipse, they've known about the eclipse coming because eclipses happen.
So, in other words, the media is not that bright. Our lawmakers are not that bright. And consequently, we're kind of up a creek without a paddle, as they might say. But this has been a long time in the making, like a really long time in the making, guys. I want to take you back to 1987. I was a freshman in high school, and Donald Trump was 41 years old. It's funny, like I always thought of him as older, you know, because I was a kid, and I might have watched this back then. But take a look at this. He's on Larry King, and I just pulled a couple clips because it's fascinating. They try and say he's dumb. They try and discount him. But this is a man who has been on a mission forever. And that mission has not changed. Let's take it away, Larry King and Donald Trump.
See, I was tired, and I think a lot of people are tired of watching other countries ripping off the United States. This is a great country. They laugh at us. Behind our backs, they laugh at us because of our own stupidity and the leaders, I mean, what we have a Persian Gulf situation. You saw what happened today. Billions and billions of dollars are being spent on getting oil for Japan, and they're not paying anything for it. Essentially, they're paying nothing for it. We have tankers going back and forth that our men are protecting, losing their lives. I mean, they're losing their lives, Larry. We're spending billions and billions on protection, and those tankers are going over to Japan. It's just preposterous. I watched the Kuwaiti oil minister the other day laughing as he was explaining how much money they intend to make with the Bridgeton, which has been a total disaster, the Bridgeton. And I said to myself, isn't that a shame? He's talking about how much money they're going to make, and here we are. He's smiling and laughing. Why don't we get some of it? Why is it that we're protecting? We have frogmen, we have helicopters, we have aircraft carriers, and all sorts of ships all over the Persian Gulf, so that this man and his little group can make a lot of money. I think it's ridiculous.
Well, one of the reasons we say we're doing it is because we've been doing it, and that all previous presidents have endorsed doing it. I guess the kind of thinking of an entrepreneur is because somebody else said it was right doesn't make it right, right?
Larry, the country is losing $200 billion a year. $200 billion. This country cannot continue to lose $200 billion. Japan is one of the wealthiest machines ever created. Saudi Arabia, and it's not, hey, let me tell you, I'm a big beneficiary of Japan. They buy my apartments in spades, they're fine people, but they're laughing to themselves as to what's happening over here. We're not kidding ourselves. They're laughing to themselves, Larry, as to what's happening in this country.
Wow. I mean, we're losing a lot more than $200 billion now, so that's changed. And some of the players have changed, and yet the themes are consistent. So in other words, back then, he was making the point that our international foreign policy was really messed up, and it was not putting America first. We're a great country, but other people are benefiting from this greatness because we're out there protecting everyone. And he's saying, hey, you know, we should be a little more strategic about this because aren't we just protecting their interests instead of ours? And Larry King saying, you know, this is just the way we've always done it. Like, it's always gone this way for as long as we know. Maybe we need a fresh perspective. Maybe that's what somebody who's an entrepreneur, somebody in the business sphere brings to the table. Well, that's what Donald Trump did bring. But the government didn't want it. The establishment didn't want it because, you see, the establishment has a very established way of doing things. And when you start to rock the boat, forget about it. And, you know, you don't have shareholders that can vote your stock up and down. You just have everyday Americans that get to have a say every 4 years. But they're hanging on for dear life right now because things aren't good. Trump knew it back then. He knows it now. I think we have another clip I want to show you because this is important to understand. As much as they say, oh, he's just doing this for political reasons, this, that, and the other. No, He was singing the same tune back in 1987 at 41 years old. Watch.
We say we're doing it is because we've been doing it, and that all previous presidents have endorsed doing it. I guess the kind of thinking of an entrepreneur is because somebody else said it was right doesn't make it right, right?
Larry, the country is losing $200 billion a year. $200 billion. This country cannot continue to lose $200 billion. Japan is one of the wealthiest machines ever created. Saudi Arabia, and it's not, hey, let me tell you, I'm a big beneficiary of Japan. They buy my apartments in spades. They're fine people. But they must be, they're laughing to themselves as to what's happening over here. We're not kidding ourselves. They're laughing to themselves, Larry, as to what's happening in this country.
But, Donald, a lot of people feel the way you feel. And a lot of people maybe with as much money, or certainly some people with as much money feel the way you feel. Why did you go public?
Because somebody had to, Larry. I watch it again, and it's a very important point. Japan is a money machine. Saudi Arabia is a money machine. Kuwait, these are money machines, the greatest ever created. The United States is, if it were a corporation, it would be bankrupt. It's losing $200 billion a year. For years now, it's been losing that. What right do we have to go out and defend? Why aren't these countries, these wealthy money machines, paying us for the defense of their freedom and their nations? Why aren't they paying us?
We are kind of the world's keeper, are we not?
I don't believe we should be. I think Japan should certainly make a contribution. Japan is one of the reasons they're so successful is they don't have to worry about defense, because why should they worry about defense when the United States will do it for nothing? I mean, it's crazy. Saudi Arabia, I mean, you saw what happened with Saudi Arabia. We're going through the Gulf. We have old-fashioned, obsolete minesweepers. We ask Saudi Arabia for the use of their minesweepers, which are the best made, the most modern, the best, and they say no. Who are they to tell us no? We're not going to give you our minesweepers. It's ridiculous. They're only there. They're only there for the sake of us as far as that's concerned. We are protective of Saudi Arabia. They should pay for that.
Are we going to be hearing more from Mr. Trump on issues like this as we go along?
I really don't know, Larry. This is an issue that's been bothering me. It's been bothering a lot of people that I know. And I think it's an issue that had to be brought out to the fore. The concept of America financing and paying and losing lives for countries that won't even allow us to use their ships. And these are the countries that in 24 hours they'd be wiped off the face of the earth if it weren't for America. It's ridiculous.
By the way, a couple of other things, then we'll take some calls for Donald Trump. Is it true that you're going to go to New Hampshire in October at the invitation of Mike Dunbar, who's heading a group called Draft Donald Trump?
Well, I was asked about 3 or 4 weeks ago whether or not, by a very good friend of mine, whether or not I'd go to New Hampshire. That's turned out to be now a much bigger deal than I had ever anticipated. And perhaps, I don't know, I am going. I made the commitment to go. I made the commitment about 3 weeks ago. And I will go, yes.
You will go. Even though you realize now, in just setting foot in that state, people are going to presume things.
Well, they can presume whatever they want. I have no intention of running for president, but I'd like the point to get across that we have a great country, but it's not going to be great for long if we're going to continue to lose $200 billion a year. You're going to get into the early 90s, 1990, 1991, and the whole thing's going to blow because this country cannot continue to support Japan and Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and many other countries that are much wealthier than we are. We're not a wealthy country. You can't be a wealthy country when you're losing the kind of money that we're losing.
We're a debtor country.
I mean, that's just amazing, right? So he's been threatening the establishment for decades. That was 1987. I see in the chat some of you are asking, what year is that? It was 1987. Donald Trump on Larry King and laying it all out. And you know what? His story hasn't changed. His criticism of government has not changed. I mean, it's debatable. I understand there's a lot of nuance here. Look, you want to be the world's hegemonic power? That comes with a certain amount of responsibility. Some of you may say, well, I don't need to be the world's hegemonic power. But I'm going to just tell you, you know, one of the reasons the bottom has not fallen out from under, despite this $34 trillion worth of debt, is because we are still the only place that people, we are the prettiest girl at the dance, but it's not a very good looking dance. All right. That's one way to put it. So like everybody still wants to date us. Everybody still wants to invest in the United States of America. Where else are you going to put your money? Because the U.S. is seen as in charge. American foreign policy has always kind of dictated the day. But now that's very much in limbo. It's in limbo not because of Trump. It's in limbo because of Biden. Consider what's happening there in the Middle East, where he's vacillating on whether or not he's going to stand with his ally Israel, because politically it's not expedient to do so. And then you look at the mess that has become Ukraine and Russia and the money it's costing us and the lives being lost on both sides there. I mean, this is not a good look for the Biden administration right now. You couple in the fact that we've got so many people pouring across this U.S. border, and you got a Homeland Security Department that looks, frankly, pretty darn impotent. And so all of these things are coming together now, and it's threatening the system that was. So you have to make a decision. Okay, if we're going to be the hegemonic power of the world, then we ought to get a little more comfortable with things like trade and tariffs and use those tariffs appropriately. In other words, you want to do business with us? We'll do business with you on our terms. You don't flood the market with your goods, China. I was cracking up. I heard Yellen, Janet Yellen, our now Treasury Secretary, admit that she might be willing to look at tariffs again, re-implementing the Trump tariffs. Think of that. Oh, they're all so mad. He's starting a big fight with China because he's putting in tariffs because, you know, they shouldn't be flooding our markets with their cheap goods, thereby destroying our labor and our ability to succeed. And what is she saying? She's trying to warn China. You know what? The market can't absorb all these goods. You can't keep on producing all this stuff because you're so worried about your domestic economy, reducing prices on the market overall. You can't do it, she says. Well, what does she get to back her up? Trump said, you can't do it because I'm going to tariff you. I'm going to tax you, China. And that's what he did. Okay, so he understood the power and the value of economic policy. And these people, they should get it. Janet's a smart woman. She's got enough degrees in economics. She ran the Fed, for goodness sakes, although that's not exactly a claim to fame these days. But, you know, I mean, with all that education, and she can't figure out how to actually play politics. And the politicians can't understand economics and markets. And so we're in a bad spot, which is why it gets back to why I think Donald Trump, despite the various lawsuits, despite the 91 indictments, he might just win this thing. I mean, when you got the Michigan Police Union, the largest union for police officers in the United States of America, actually coming out and endorsing the guy with 4 criminal cases against him and 91 counts, that ought to tell you something, right? It's good to see you guys. Yes, I just want to confirm it was 1987. Ian, funny jibe over at Larry. Depends on which wife he was on in terms of knowing the year. David making the point that, yes, Trump was correct then, and Trump is correct now. One of our viewers, Victor, pointing out it's not just gold, but silver as well. Yes, silver has been rallying for sure. Really fascinating to see. It tells you something bigger. It tells you something more. It tells you that the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen, is in trouble. And we got a chance here to fix it. And we need to take that chance. Please make sure you subscribe. Make sure you hit the like, share the likes. I see Don's already on ya. Don's like, hey, why don't we have more likes? We need more likes. We get all these people watching. We need more likes, more shares. All that stuff helps to spread the word. It is great to see you. We'll be back here tomorrow with much more. Till then.